Well, good early morning. So we continue our study in the book of Revelation. We get to verses 29 through 27, and we'll cover only up to 21 today, and we'll cover the next six verses next week. Today, we talk about the New Jerusalem, the people of God, the New Jerusalem. I hope that you have, over the months that you have followed along in Revelation, that you have learned many new things, that many of the symbols that John wrote this in this apocalyptic literature, that you helps you understand more about the things that are coming, the things that are happening now, and the coming of Christ. Now we're looking at heaven, the time that we spend with God, but we're also talking about the bride of Christ. We want to see what Jesus thinks of us. That's amazing. So today, as we look at God's Word, it's going to present the New Jerusalem to you, probably as if you've never heard it. If you have your Bibles, turn. Revelation 21, verse 9 through 27. I like what John Piper said. John Piper said, Christ did not die to forgive sinners who go on treasuring anything above seeing and savoring God. The people who would be happy in heaven if Jesus were not there, will not be there. The gospel is not a way to get people to heaven. It is the way to get people to God. It's a way of overcoming every obstacle to everlasting joy in God. If we don't want God above all things, we have not been converted by the gospel. That's pretty powerful. If God is not our first love, if we do not desire God and the things of God above everything else in this life, if we do not desire to dwell with God for all eternity, and that's who we're looking forward to, then we've missed it. So we look at Revelation 21. I'm going to get into verse 9 through verse 27. The New Jerusalem. Then one of the angels who had the seven bowls of the seven plagues, came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. You can underline that in your Bible. That's very important. Verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. Having the glory of God, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. And it had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were three gates on the east, and three gates on the north, and three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. The city is laid out in a square, and its length is as great as its width, and is measured, and he measured the city with the rod. He said 1,500 miles, what is really 12,000 stadia. That's important. Its length and its width and its height are equal. Its length, its width, and its height are important. Those things, they're all equal. And he measured the wall 72 yards, or 144 cubits, according to human measurement, which are also angelic measurements. The material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper. The second was sapphire. The third was chalcedony. And the fourth was emerald. The fifth was sardonyx. The sixth was sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. And the ninth, topaz. And the tenth, chrysoprase. And the 11th, jacinth, and the 12th, amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb were its temple. And the city has no need of sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. In the daytime, for there will be no night there, its gates will never be closed. And they will bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean, no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's pray together. Father God, today, open our eyes, open our hearts to hear your word, to hear the truth of your word. Help us understand and comprehend, God. And God, speak to us. Lord, your message in this is how valuable you treasure us and want to be with us. Have your way in each of our lives, in Jesus' name, amen. So I'll warn you ahead of time. Remember, we're talking about apocalyptic literature. Remember, this is symbols and signs that stand for something else. So John gives us a sign or a symbol, or he paints a picture for us, so to speak, or he describes something that we can relate to, but it has a deeper spiritual meaning for the church. So we read in Revelation 21, 9 through 21, and it shows the ultimate fulfillment, listen, of an Old Testament prophet, Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 40 through verse 48, Ezekiel was a prophet who ministered to Judah and Israel while they were still in captivity in Babylon during the 6th century B.C. Both John's vision in Revelation and Ezekiel's vision over in the Old Testament are very similar. In both visions, the prophet and the apostle were taken in the spirit and were taken to a high mountain and were shown visions. So Ezekiel saw a temple, then a city. And what is John doing? He's describing a city, the New Jerusalem. The vision of Ezekiel finds fulfillment in the new heavens and the new earth. The imagery of Revelation 21, verse 9 through 27, is rooted in Ezekiel chapter 40 through 48, as well as other parts in Revelation. Can you please cut that AC down a little bit, or up a little bit? It's kind of chilly. Thank you. So let's begin to unpack some of this scripture, to really understand what's going on in this passage in Revelation, to bring clarity. And I want to warn you, it will blow what you normally think about the New Jerusalem. It will totally open your eyes to something totally different, what the true meaning is. Because so often we've read Revelation, or we've heard preachers preach a Revelation, and they talk about it in a very literal standpoint. Well, it says city, it means city. John wrote apocalyptic literature in Revelation. One thing standing for something else. So let's begin. The first thing we see is the identity of this city. That kind of helps us to see. Verse 9 through 10. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke to me. He said, come here. I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Sounds pretty simple, but let's get into it. From these two verses, listen, John sets out the identity of the new Jerusalem. In John's vision, he's taken to a high mountain. So was Ezekiel, if you go back and read in Ezekiel. He was taken to a high mountain, not physically, but in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is making clear to John about what he is seeing. John is still on the Isle of Patmos. He has not moved. He's still there. But God takes him in the Spirit to see what is going on. So in the Spirit, John is shown the holy city, the New Jerusalem. Next, listen, the angel gave John the identity of the New Jerusalem. He says, come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Now, you can underline that in your Bible because verse 9 is very key to helping us understand everything else below it. I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. So the first thing we see, the holy city, the new Jerusalem that John sees, listen, it's not a literal, physical, reconstructed city. It is a people, the people of God, the church. We have to understand verse 9 to get the rest of it. If we miss verse 9, if we just read over it very briefly, we miss the whole point of what John is trying to get us to see. See, the city of New Jerusalem is not a place, it's a people. God's holy people, the church. Some of you are probably thinking, well, Pastor, I've always heard about pearly gates and streets of gold. You mean we're not going to walk on golden streets and there's no pearly gates we can polish from time to time? Hang with me as we walk through. We also see here how John compares two things. Notice something, what John does in Revelation 21, verse 9. He compares it to Revelation 17, verse 1. In verse 9, he says, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. You think, okay, think bride. Bride. I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 1. This is what it says. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls said, come, and he said to me, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters. The great prostitute Babylon. John is showing us a comparison. Over in 17, he's talking about Babylon, the great prostitute, in other words, the seductive cultures of the world that seduce people away from God. And now he's showing, listen, but these are the people of God, the New Jerusalem. Look at the difference. Notice the similarities in the way John is shown the prostitute of Babylon, the wife, and the wife, the bride of Christ, the New Jerusalem. See, in the visions of Babylon, the New Jerusalem, Babylon nor the New Jerusalem are literal physical cities. They both stand for something else. They represent something that John is trying to portray to the readers, to the church. The prostitute, the great harlot of Babylon, represented the seductive cultures of the world, but lures people away from God and the sinful indulgences and idol gods that are out there. The New Jerusalem of Revelation 21 is seen as the spiritual opposite of Babylon. She is not an actual city. Unlike Babylon, the prostitute, she, the bride of Christ, is a pure virgin bride of Christ. We have to get this in verse 9, seeing the comparison that John has given to us. And if we get that, we'll get the rest of the chapter. See, Revelation 14, verse 4 described the church. These are those who do not defile themselves with women, for they are kept themselves pure. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes, and they were purchased from among men and offered as first fruits to God and the Lamb. The New Jerusalem is the church, the people of God. We have to grasp this connection. Verse 2 tells us in Revelation 21, "Then I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And he carried me away to a high mountain in the spirit and showed me the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God." John sees the church. John sees us, the church, coming down as a bride would walk down the aisle to meet her groom. I do a lot of weddings. And you learn some things. And time again, I would stand in the front of the church or wherever it may be in the reception hall they have in the wedding, wherever it is. Standing, the groom is right next to me. All the wedding party has come in, and they're in their rightful places. And then I tell everyone to stand in honor of the bride. And the bridal music begins to play. And the doors open. And there's the beautiful bride with her father walking down. Many grooms standing there seeing their bride. And his radiance and his beauty, and the tears begin to fall. And of course, the photographer's right there. Snap, 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 you know. Getting the picture. We have to understand what John is presenting to us and helping us understand. Just as that husband, that groom, values that woman walking down to be his wife, that he said no to everyone else and yes to her. Jesus said no to everything else and yes to us. Yes to us, the New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is not a place, rather it is a people, God's people. When he called out, set aside, and elected us to be his church in Christ Jesus. The new heaven and new earth is a place for the people of God. The New Jerusalem is the people for the place. The second thing we see. Now if we're clear on that, verse 9 sets the tone for the rest of it. That what John is describing is the church, the New Jerusalem. And he describes it as an ancient city to help people make the connection. And it's a beautiful connection. So description of this holy city, the New Jerusalem. Let's look at a description of it. So John's description of the bride of Christ, the New Jerusalem, to help us understand a little bit better in verse 10 and verse 11. Says, "Then he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God." That's important. "Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper." John is struck by the radiant light and beauty of the glory of God, which fills the whole New Jerusalem. John is struck by its beauty, by its radiance. Remember way back in Revelation chapter 4, it helps us grasp a little bit more what John is talking about and making the connection of the presence of God with his church, the presence of God in the New Jerusalem. John describes a vision that he saw in Revelation chapter 4, verse 3. He saw the throne of God. He says, "And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardis in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance." John over in Revelation 4 saw the throne of God in this vision. And now he's seeing those same elements, the very same thing in the New Jerusalem, in the church, his people, because God's people are filled with the very presence of God. Amen. Maybe that didn't mean much to you. I'll say it again. God's people are filled with the very presence of God. John is now saying in Revelation 21 that the whole city, the New Jerusalem, the church is filled with God's glory. When God makes a new heaven and a new earth, he will dwell with us, his people. It's not something from the outside that creates the beauty. It's from the inside because the presence of God is with us. So we see that the New Jerusalem is talking about the church, the bride of Christ. He gives a little bit further description to help us understand and define that. The first thing he talks about, verse 12 and 13, talks about the high walls, the 12 gates, the 12 angels, and the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, some of you will keep thinking, okay, he's talking about a city, Brother Kevin. You must have missed it right there. No, I didn't. No. John is talking about certain things, certain elements, describing an ancient city, but giving us cues, giving us symbols to tell us over and over again, this is the church, this is us. Verse 12 and 13. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels, and the names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were three gates on the east, and three gates on the north, and three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. The walls, listen, the walls mean that the city, the church, was perfectly secure. There are walls in the ancient cities. They built walls as defense. There was security in that city when it had the walls. Back in Nehemiah's day, when Nehemiah begged the king of Babylon to come back to Jerusalem, what did he want to do? Rebuild the walls. Why? Because Jerusalem was defenseless. The walls were important in ancient city. But for us, what is John talking about when he describes these walls, massive walls, high and thick? Over in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, where we can understand our security as Christians. You know, I firmly believe in the perseverance of the saints. I firmly believe when you're in Christ, you can never be outside of Christ. When you are saved, you can never be unsaved. You are saved in Christ. Why? The walls. Romans chapter 8 tells us this. Verse 38 and 39, I am convinced that neither death, nor height, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Even the vision that John sees of the New Jerusalem gives us understanding of the security in Christ of our salvation. It says angels guard these gates. The gates were not only for the saved people, the elect of God, those who are saved in Christ Jesus. The gates face all four directions, symbolizing that the people of God, those who are saved, those who are born again, those who are the elect of God from all languages, tribes, and nations compose the church, the New Jerusalem. So gates are open on all four sides. Why? To demonstrate to us that the church is not just a bunch of Americans. It's not just a bunch of white people. It's not just the Baptist. It's just, the church is composed of all those in Christ who come by faith. God's people. God's people. We studied some time back that the book of Revelation is talking about the 12 tribes of Israel. Clearly understanding something about that. So the gates are open on all sides, welcoming all people. But we have to understand something about at these gates. Above each gate was written one of the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. We studied some time back that in the book of Revelation, The 12 tribes of Israel clearly symbolize all who are in Christ Jesus, both Jew and Gentile. These 12 gates have the 12 tribes of the Son of Israel inscribed on them to remind us that in the church, it's Old Testament people of God, New Testament people of God coming together for all eternity. It's pretty amazing. What about the foundation of the wall we read in verse 14? It says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The foundation of the walls of the city is on the foundation of the apostles of Christ. In other words, the apostles who preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the foundation of the security we have in Christ Jesus. Jesus paid the price, but what did Jesus tell the disciples to do in Matthew 28? He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. We today are saved, born again, because Jesus commissioned those disciples to go through all the nations, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, bringing, discipling people to salvation. And today we're saved and born again because of the message that they held, the gospel of Jesus that they preached. Those are the foundations of the church. Entrance to this city, the church, therefore depends on your belief in Jesus Christ. Not that you're an ethnic Jew, not that you go to this denomination or that denomination, not that you have this religion, but that you believe Christ, who preached Christ, who was commissioned by Christ, the apostles. Oh, can we begin to see the description that John is giving, the names of the tribes of Israel, plus the names of the apostles, that we come together as his church. We are the new Jerusalem for all eternity. Everything that's there that John is telling us is describing over and over and over again that we are the church. We're the church. The new Jerusalem is the church. Now the measuring of the new Jerusalem. Here's something really unique. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 15 and 16. It says, then one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and its walls. The city lies four square. Its length and is same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod 12,000 stadia. Its length and its width and its height are equal. The city which John saw is shaped like a cube. So length, width, and height. Cities are not usually measured by length, width, and height. Cities are measured usually by length and width. But he includes height. He's describing a cube here. We also notice that the angel with the measuring rod is also similar over in Ezekiel. So here we see the fulfillment of Ezekiel in the old prophecy, in the Old Testament, to what John is seeing in Revelation. The size of the city, in terms that we have, is about 1,500 miles, somewhere up in that realm. Now, if we thought physical city in the world, think about it. If we thought New Jerusalem was a physical city, that's 1,500 miles north, east, southwest, east way, and then 1,500 miles up. That's somewhere in the satellites, I guess, if that's what we assume this meant. But if you think about that, even that big distance in a whole world, New Jerusalem would only take up a small portion of it. But he's not talking about that physical city. He's talking about the church, and these numbers mean something. See, the number 12,000 stadia is significant. It reminds us of the numbers of the 12 tribes of Israel over in Revelation chapter 7. I know I'm going back and forth because it's so much and we have to grasp it as best we can. Verse 5 in Revelation 7 said, 12,000 of the tribes of Judah were sealed, 12,000 of the tribes of Reuben, 12,000 tribes of Gad, and on and on. This number totaled, when finished, 144,000. We learned at that time that this 144,000 represented all of God's people, not just the Jews, but all of God's people, Old Testament and New Testament. So this city, the New Jerusalem, is 12,000 stadia cubed because it is a place where those who are sealed by God will dwell for all eternity. Now think about this. A cube is composed of 12 lines. There's four at the bottom, there's four at the top, and there's one on each corner, four more. 12. 12 times 12,000 equals 144,000. John gives us, even in the measurements of the New Jerusalem, more proof that what he's trying to help us see is that the New Jerusalem is the church. It's the church. It's the people of God. It's the people of God. It's not a physical location. It's not a place. It's a people. It's a people. Even in this measurements, he's letting us see that these are the people of God he's trying to tell us about. The cube shape is significant. But we also see that the cube shape represents something that we probably overlook, don't even think about. In the Old Testament, the Holy of Holies that the Jewish people carried around with them in their tabernacle and then their temple was shaped like a cube. All sides were equal. Top, bottom, length, height, everything. Equal. What does that mean? The people of God, 144,000, have the presence of God with them. The Holy of Holies was a physical representation of God upon the earth. A physical reminder to the Jewish people that God is their God. And once a year, the high priest went in there on the Day of Atonement and made atonement for the sins of the Israeli people. Only the high priest could go in there. That's it. Just the high priest. But now God is saying, I am with you, church. I am with you always. The Holy of Holies is with you now. You have access to me. Man, that's beautiful. I don't know if I lost you somewhere way back there, but I get excited about this. Trying to put together piece by piece. God dwells with his people fully. The new heavens and the earth, all will be the most holy place for God's glory. Verse 17 says this. And he measured the wall, which was 142 cubits, meaning thick, 72 yards. This is just another reminder where that 144 comes into play. But it really means that God's people are secure. These walls are secure because of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Verse 18 says, the material of the wall was jasper and the city was pure gold like glass. Now, in our imagination, we're thinking, man, I go to heaven, we're going to dance on streets of gold. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. We're going to have a good time. It's the most beautiful place. See, our human thinking is that way. Maybe we were raised poor. We saw people wealthy around us. We saw people who had more than us. And, you know, we're not going to get jealous about it because you know what? I'm going to have treasures in heaven. I'm going to have golden streets and pearl, you know, pearly gates and all like this. John is sending a message to us in this. Tyrell was jasper. See, those in the church of AD 90, as well as the church of today, are familiar with the beauty and the luster of gold. Yet, John is helping us see something here. There's nothing that we have, nothing that we possess, nothing that we can refine that even begins to resemble the beauty of this transparent glass gold. John was using the description to illustrate the value and the purity that distinguishes the bride of Christ, the church, in the eyes of Jesus. The walls of jasper and city were like transparent glass. It's like that groom seeing his bride. Maybe everyone else sees, oh, she's cute, she's pretty, you know, whatever. But that groom sees, oh, look, that's the most beautiful woman in the world. That's the love he has for her. And if you ask a groom for a description of his wife walking down the aisle, he would be lost for words trying to describe her. And John is doing his best because he's lost for words. Because Jesus' bride, the church, has radiance and glory. Such beauty. And that's what he's trying. The value that's there in the church that Jesus Christ saved, that will spend all eternity in the new heavens and the new earth. The church with the presence of God is radiant, it's beautiful, it's amazing. I'm lost for words, John's basically giving us. It's like something I've never seen before. Verse 19 through 21, or through 20, 19 and 20. The foundation stones of the city wall are adorned with every kind of precious stone. And I won't go through there and try to announce all those stones again. Listen, this we have to grasp. The 12 stones that John names that compose those walls, that adorn the beauty of those walls, those were the same 12 stones that the high priest wore in his breastplate when he walked into the Holy of Holies. Each stone represented a tribe of Israel in the Old Testament. Each one had a purpose. So when he walked into the Holy of Holies, he represented all of Israel. He represented the people of God. And he brought them before God Almighty. So we can see 8 of these for sure, word for word, same translation, same element, same jewel, same gem. 4 of them are equivalent because of translation in the languages, but they're still talking about the same stone. Same stone. All 12 of those represented in the high priest, they're there represented in the church. Each stone represents us. Each stone. What does this mean? Under the old covenant, one man, the high priest, entered to the most holy place one time a year to represent Israel. However, under the new covenant, all have access to the throne of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is our great high priest in the new heavens and the new earth. All of God's people will dwell and be filled. We would dwell with the holy place. Be filled with God's glory. Oh, can you see the beauty of that? Can you see the beauty, the representation? So as John is describing this city, this ancient city, he has so many elements inside that compose the city, compose the walls and the gates and everything in there. But he's talking about the church. He's talking about us and what Christ has done for us. We're beautiful, we're holy, we're radiant because God's glory shines in us for all eternity. We can't miss that. Because right now the church gets run down pretty bad. There's a lot of people that really not only ignore the church but abuse the church. There are a lot of people who mock the church. There are a lot of people call us a bunch of holy rollies and all that. They call us all sorts of names, a bunch of hypocrites. They call us so much. Church in other countries are persecuted. They're murdered. They're killed. They're in prison simply for doing what we do right now in freedom. Can you see how important this is for us to grasp that God loves us, that God wants to be with us? Get our minds off of pearly gates and streets of gold and walls of jasper. Get our minds off of the wealth of the thoughts of the world, how the world would interpret that, and understand that we are valuable to Jesus. We are the ones that he came for. Listen, the bride of Christ is not a city. The bride of Christ is a people. The last verse, and I'm closing. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each of the gate made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. Can you see the value that's there? But I want us to also see about this single pearl gate, the splendor and beauty of this city, the bride of Christ, the people of God. Listen, he's really emphasized here. But the glory and the radiance of Christ shines with unimaginable beauty. 12 gates, each made of one pearl. We're reminded over in Matthew 13 of a parable that Jesus told. It says, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went out and sold all that he had and bought it. Jesus is our pearl. Jesus is a pearl of great worth. He is the one of great value. You only come into the church, you only come into heaven through Jesus Christ. Jesus said over in John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes into me and comes into the Father except through me. Over in John, he also said this in John 10, verse 9. He says, I am the gate. Jesus, let us be reminded of the single pearly gates John describes that's open to all the world on all four sides. That's Jesus. That's not religion. That's not denominationalism. That's Jesus. The only way you come to Christ, the only way you are in the church is through Christ. And salvation is open to all the whosoevers of the world. The whosoevers of the world. As we've described this New Jerusalem, as we've described this city, and I know I've rushed and I've tried to get it all together, and I hope I didn't lose you anywhere. Because it's so much in there. And I tried to bring out just the surface to help you see. But it transforms our thinking from literal to apocalyptic. To help us see what John is really talking about. Is that maybe for the first time in all of your life, you will feel valued. You'll feel special. You feel important. Because when Jesus sees you, church, you are the church. He sees his radiant, beautiful, pure city that he dwells with for all eternity. God wants to dwell with us. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, there's so much in these verses that just stick out to us. God, for most of us, we've been taught something just trying to understand heaven. God, teach us your word in truth and wholeness. Open our hearts up to see, God, that we have value to you. God, that we are a beautiful people because of Jesus Christ, not because of our own doing, because, God, we feel so undone. We mess up. We slip up. God, we do things that we know displeases you. But because of Christ Jesus, there's grace, there's forgiveness, there's wholeness and health and hope. Father, I just pray that you fill us with your Holy Spirit. God, open our minds to understand how much you truly value us. That when you see us, you see your Son Jesus in the radiance and the beauty that make us worthy of a new heaven and a new earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.